Welcome to the Upping Your Elvis podcast with Chris and Jim, where we are exploring how to get your energy right to get your extraordinary on.
So welcome to the Upping Your Elvis podcast. We are experimenting with how to get our energy right. And my gosh, we've been having fun this month, because this month, myself and Jim Lusty have been rolling around in our naps, haven't we, Jim?
We have. Not as much as we should, or I should have, but I have been doing it, and I've been loving it when I've managed it, is the headline.
Exactly. But we've had some professional help. So welcome to the show. We've got Cara, we've got Sam from Pro Nappers. You're not amateur nappers. This is pro napping level. So welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and what it is you get up to?
Sure. So it's in the title, as you said, the Pro Nappers. So we are professional nappers, and we're also very pro it. And it's also for professionals. So we're not talking just about the Sunday afternoon snooze. We are talking about naps as a productivity tool for professional people, so that they get the most out of their working day. But also it's really good for their physical health, their mental health, their mood, and their relationships. So that's what we do at Pro Nappers. We promote the short 20-minute power nap.
Wonderful, wonderful.
How much more productive are we, Cara, when we have a nap at work?
Well, what was your experience, Jim? I'm just going to turn it right back on you. How much more productive were you on the afternoons you had a nap compared to the afternoons you didn't?
So should I put a percentage to it? I would say I was, and then because I would imagine there might be some research, but I'm going to say I'm 30%. 30% better.
Strong number, Jim. I like it.
30% better when I've had a nap. Although it does, I'm probably minus 10% for the first 10 minutes after I've woken up. But then it flips and I get that, all the benefits back. Yeah, and I'm way more alert. Probably 20 minutes after I wake up, I am 30% better than I would have been.
And Jim, didn't NASA have some statistics on this?
They did. They did have some statistics.
Are they just at your fingertips?
They're in my head.
Oh, and what are they saying?
Over 50% more productive they were.
Over 50%?
I didn't feel 50. I was more. Mine was more 30%. But yeah.
Well, look, NASA, as somebody that works with you, Jim, I'd say 75%, but there we go. That's my view. Anyway, enough of this banter, because although it is a very fun subject and we've really been enjoying it, there's a massive serious benefit to us napping. There's lots of stigma attached to it, and we'll get into that later on. But what got you into this, guys? Because it's a really interesting niche, and it's something we're passionate about, but you know, you do this with full energy, so I love it.
Okay, it's Sam here. So I've worked in wellbeing for about 20 years in various different guises, well before the industry of wellbeing was created, before it was called just checking in on people and making sure they were okay and making sure they'd slept well and they had good relationships and it had good mental focus. And then we created this industry called wellbeing, which is moved, of course, into mental health and being mentally fit. But well-being at its heart relies on having a good night's sleep. So over all those years, regardless what you call this category, having a good night's sleep and being well rested and being able to function because of your whole sleep portfolio is absolutely at the heart of it. So it's something I've been talking about for a very long time. But here's the rub. Real life is just getting in our way now. We can't count on having a fabulous night's sleep anymore. Sure. We have so many things that get in the way. I'm sure we can have a good natter about all the silly things that just interrupt a good night's sleep. And a really brilliant way around that is to have a nap in the day to complete that sleep portfolio for yourself. Simple as that.
Well, with you on that, I remember meeting Tony Schwartz, the founder of the Energy Project, some years ago. Mm-hmm. Lovely chap, very tall, but lovely. And I remember asking him, you know, what is the secret to energy? And he said, single thing, sleep. So, you know, everybody's lining up on this. And as you say, for all sorts of different reasons, we're not doing it as well as we used to. That's for sure. Yeah. So it's great that there is a way where we don't have to beat ourselves up, and say, oh dear, I've missed a good night's sleep. The day is ruined, but actually there's a way of getting it back. And thus the nap. So I guess we've had 4 weeks of playing with this now. And it's been a great 4 weeks. There's been a number of different things that we have done to tune ourselves up. And I guess, you know, we started off by just getting into it, didn't we? You know, it was just like, actually, what can we do as far as getting our routine working better for us so that sleep happened? And I just interested, Jim, you know, what, you know, at the early stages of this experiment, what were your observations?
I get really sleepy after lunch. And so that's the obvious time to do it. I mean, and I guess my day is so busy that it's the only time that is an obvious time to coincide my lunch break with a bit of a sleep.
Yeah.
You know, because if I piggyback it onto something which I've already carved out, which is sitting down and eating, yeah, then, and I know I'm going to get tired pretty quickly after it, if I piggyback that, it's much easier for me to find some time to sleep rather than trying to do it between two meetings, because it never feels a very easy thing to do. So
yeah,
I sort of knew that beforehand, but when you've got that hat on, you've got that selective attention, you're like going, why doesn't everyone do it all the time? Because it's...
Well, that's your natural point too, Jim, is that kind of post-lunch, that kind of 1 till 3 slot where your body is, you know, is tapping on the inside of your brain saying, you should kind of be sleeping now. This is what your body wants to do, you know, give into it and see what happens.
Yeah, totally.
I'd like to add to that point, because we were talking earlier about having a disrupted night's sleep and therefore a nap kind of topping you up. And that's absolutely right. And we would call that the recovery nap. You know, you're having a nap to actually help you recover from the night before. But even the best slept people still feel that natural dip in energy and focus after lunch. Not absolutely everybody, but the majority of people, it's in our DNA, in our circadian rhythms, that even if you slept well at night, 1 to 3 in the afternoon, you're going to feel that urge to have a 20-minute nap. And as you've said, your productivity and mood soar afterwards. So it's a natural thing to do. That's, I think, the drum that we're banging, is that napping is natural.
Yeah. Well, look, we got two ends of the spectrum here. We got Jim, who never sleeps because of young children. We have myself, who I'm a champion sleeper. You know, my aura ring gives me a little crown every day and says, well done, best sleep ever. And I still like a nap. So I totally agree with you. My energy, I do have a little lull after lunch. And literally, you know, I can lie down, close my eyes, I'm off in a second, and I come back bouncing. So, yes, I'm totally with you. He recovers. I'm just riding the rhythm, I think, really, which is slightly different.
Because it is depressing. Sam, you were saying, what everyone says, it more and more when you get into mental well-being or just well-being, everyone says the secret sleep. And when you're being deprived of it, and you keep on being told that if you don't sleep, your anxiety levels are going to be raised, you're not going to live a long life, it's stressful. So you've got, you're tired and stressed. And so napping is all the more important, because it means you're just clawing a bit of that back, which is kind of important for me at the moment.
Let's add to that, Jim, because Matthew Walker, who wrote the book Why We Sleep, which is what really brought sleep into the mainstream eye of all the well-being pundits within organizations, because they'd been banging the physical drum and the nutrition drum for so long. Then Matthew Walker came along with Why We Sleep and everything about getting that good night's sleep. And even he says that napping is the biggest and best physiological injection of venture capital that any organization can make.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Well, look, I think we're sold on the benefits. You know, we're sold from a personal experience and also from amazing stats from people like NASA. But what I liked about what you were just saying then, Jim, was there was a tip. And your tip was, it won't happen by accident. You know, don't just try and fit it in between meetings. You know, if you can piggyback off lunch, that is a winner. But you have to create the space for it. The other tip that I've noticed with you, Jim, is you eat an enormous lunch, I've noticed. And that seems to help as well.
And it forces me into a sleep coma, or a food coma.
So what else can we practically do to make sure that actually we get good naps?
Well, I think it's about noticing exactly what's going on in your system. And if you really, truly pay attention to what your body is telling you, then it's easier to give into that nap urge. And the other thing is to give yourself permission, is to really ensure that you know that it's not a cost of your time, it's an investment in your time. So it's that sense of giving yourself the space, the opportunity, the ability to know you're doing really good restorative work for your brain while your body is just having a bit of a rest.
And look, this is massive. If there's one thing that we could solve on this podcast, and if it's that, we will have a huge impact. So how do we get people into a frame of mind where they release the stigma? Because basically, we talk to a lot of corporates. The idea, you know, we always say, you know, make sure you take your lunch break. And they find that offensive. They're like, but I've got people in Asia, I've got people in America, it's the only time I can work. Ah, you got no idea about my life. And honestly, they kick off about that. When you then mention a nap, they go, oh, if I was to do that, people would think I'm lazy. You know, when Google set up their sleep pods, you know, the idea was you kicked your shoes off outside when you went in. And people didn't do that because people would recognize your shoes. Yeah, and they go, oh, they're being lazy, you know, because actually that is, I think, what people interpret having a nap to be. So yeah. We know that's not the case. But how would you advise people to overcome that issue?
Well, there are many ways, actually. First of all, it helps if you have a really good leader who advocates for napping because they just know it makes sense for themselves. Mm-hmm. They demonstrate it. You can just see how more productive they are in the afternoon. So that helps. It also helps if you kind of educate people just to say, look, do you know what? We've squeezed napping out of our normal way of living through the last sort of 200, 300 years of industrialization. Because before that, it was a very natural thing to do. And it's only because almost Benjamin Franklin said in 1749, time is money. And at that point, the commercial world thought, right, you've got to be productive from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Yeah. But actually, if you try and get rid of those kind of old hangovers from the past and the fact that just because we have the light bulb and just because we have air conditioning means that you don't have to just keep working because you can, you know, there are natural urges that reinstate themselves in your system when you take all those cultural norms out of the way.
Yeah.
How else do you convince people to do it? You show them how unproductive they are in the afternoon. You show them what they're missing out on in the afternoon. You equate the amount of time that they go and make that third cup of tea in the afternoon or have to redo work because they've just done a poor job, which they wouldn't have done had they been firing on all cylinders. Yeah. So there are numbers of different ways that you can help them.
There's still a bit of pleasure and pain involved in
yeah, kind
of
people. Yeah.
But I love your point about, you know, you need a decent leadership on this because actually we all look to, you know, the senior figures to see how they're behaving. And if they're the ones saying, no, you're a robot, you're a machine, let's sweat those hours, then that's what you get. I was very lucky when I was young in my career. I had a number of people who either used to meditate or nap after lunch. And, you know, they put the blinds down in their office, they'd kick back. Everyone knew that was happening. And therefore, nobody ever bothered them. It was just part of the process. And therefore, if anyone else wanted to do it, it was absolutely fine because somebody senior was doing it. I totally agree with that. One of the things that I've really enjoyed, by the way, about the way you've set these tasks, it's a terrible task, go and have a nap, is you've done a few little challenges. One of which was play with your space, which I quite enjoyed. Because actually, I'm a little bit habituated with my naps. I go and I lie on my bed, and that's my little place. And actually, the challenge to go and find somewhere else to relax, I thought quite an interesting one. Mm. Jim, did you manage to engage in
that? I'm afraid I failed on that one, because with children homeschooling, all other spaces are taken. So my bedroom was my, I think I almost fell asleep in the bath, but that didn't count. I'm afraid spaces were sort of ruled out by my five-year-old.
Yeah, and actually, one of the things I learned from that is that, you know, sleep hygiene is important. So actually being able to darken, you know, wear a sleep mask, have earplugs in helps you if you go into other places because you can't necessarily protect the space as well. But I managed to get naps in my armchair downstairs. I napped in my office. I went down into the summer house where apparently my wife told me is where she's been napping for the last 2 years. She never told me that. And it's perfect for it. So there are actually more spaces and more places to go that are actually really, you know, really good for it. And actually today is the first day of the year you could do it outside. It was warm enough and the sun was out. And I just closed my eyes for 10 minutes outside with the birds singing. And it was delicious. I didn't have much of a sleep. I just relaxed. But
I thought you were looking a little pink, Christopher.
Doesn't take much with the skin. Factor 50 in the middle of
I'm going to say one of the things. So I have only been doing it in my bed. But one of the things that's been really helping me is I've got a weighted blanket. So my wife got given a weighted blanket as a gift and she doesn't really like it. But I love it. And it's just more than anything else, it's the thing. Have either of you tried it, Cara?
I have tried a weighted blanket. And I have to say, Jim, though, the alarm bells are ringing for me because I've got this vision of you going up under your bed after a big kind of past the lunch, getting under your weighted blanket. And I now know why you wake up with that groggy feeling, because I'm going to ask you, honestly.
Because I wake up 6 hours later, you mean?
Yeah. Because one thing we haven't touched on is the length of nap. Maybe we're going to come on to that, but we are really advocating for a nap that is 20 minutes or less. Yeah. And there are a couple of reasons for that. The main reason being that if you sleep for more than 20 minutes, you go into a deeper stage of your sleep cycle and you will wake up even feeling worse, but you'll definitely have that grogginess and that inertia. So until you're a nap pro, you probably need to set an alarm. But 20 minutes is sort of the extreme. You know, you can nap for 3, 5, and 10 minutes. So Chris says, where else can you nap? I've been caught when I was a tired mum napping in a supermarket queue.
Oh,
you know, literally, I can nap sort of on my feet.
That is really pro.
But I think what we're really trying to do is to create more spaces within offices where people feel comfortable to go and nap when we're not able to work from home all the time. Because I don't know if you knew this, but we did a survey called the Big Nap Survey at the 2 Novembers ago now. You see, my lockdown's taking my memory. But in that survey of 500 professional people, of those that had napped at work, which I think was about 3/4 of the people said, yeah, I've napped at work. When we said to them, okay, well, where have you gone? I think it was 30% said that they napped on the loo.
Oh, there's no comfort in that.
No, you think about the health and hygiene of that. I mean, it's just shocking. So whilst you're at home, you can go to your bed, you can go in an armchair, you can roll out your yoga mat. What we want is for when people go back into those workplaces that they can find an armchair, find a quiet spot, find a pod and have their nap. Or even put their arms on their desk with one of these kind of nice ostrich pillows that you can kind of cocoon your head in. Yeah. And everyone will just think they're doing great stuff. They're recharging their mind.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think we need to get better at that. I remember the first time I worked in Korea and I just found people having a nap in the middle of the meeting I was running. It was absolutely standard and nobody batted an eyelid about it. They just went, well, that's, you know, if your energy's down, that's what you do. So, you know, getting to the stage where we can go, you know, anywhere in this environment, we will create little safe spaces where you can go and relax. And actually, when people just walk through and go, well, that's them recharging. Isn't that good? I think that's the place to get to.
I wish I could do that.
And actually, on that, I wish I could do that thing. One thing that I've noticed is, so I was in the army very young, where you nap on the middle of a mountain in a hurricane. And that's just kind of what you get used to. So I've always found it relatively easy to nap. But the people who have taken part in this experiment, what I found is that they found it easier as time went on. It's a skill to practice. And is that something that you've got evidence of?
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit like going to the gym. You can't just go to the gym once and go, oh, look at me. I'm a fit person now. I can do this. It does take development. It does take your brain to get into the pattern of doing this at that particular time. And again, it's the acceptability. It's giving yourself permission. Then you'll switch off more easily. You'll do it more quickly, more efficiently. And so we do know that it becomes easier the more you do it. And as Cara said, you'll be able to get the benefits from an even shorter nap because it will take you less time to go through into that light sleep stage.
Yeah, I mean, I never have to use an alarm. I always wake up before 20 minutes because that's just the natural kind of cycle. So I suppose that's right. Trained kind of behavior.
Yeah.
So we know we need to find the right places. We know we need to practice more. We need to schedule it into our diaries. The other thing that I really enjoyed was the scents because, you gave us some lovely smells, which help. And actually, we've got a really good friend who started a business called Kiss the Moon. Which basically has all sorts of aromatherapies to help people sleep better. Because she used to run our Asian business, so she was always jet lagged, and she realised that was a breakthrough. So we've been playing with different scents. My wife basically is like a scent pixie in the house. You kind of walk around and there's different things, and therefore I'm quite used to a bit of lavender being on my pillow when I didn't put it there. Somebody else has, but you're also big advocates of that.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We have our own clinical aromatherapist in the shape of Sarah.
Are your own? Every business needs one of those. How wonderful. So that means she can make you different concoctions every week.
Well, we have our own recipe, don't we, Cara?
Yeah, so she could do, but we have created a bespoke nap aroma that we have put into an inhaler, which I know that you've tried.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
The bespoke blend of oils. It does include lavender, but there are three oils, two of which are designed to calm you, help you relax, help you switch off your busy mind and drift into that nap. And then the third oil is a kicker oil, which is the secret ingredient why you wake up and come round after 20 minutes. Raring to go and recharged.
So is this like a little nappuccino idea? So the idea.
Oh, that means something completely different, but we can come back to that.
Well, no, I know people who have a little espresso before they nap, and the idea is that the caffeine kicks them in at the right time to bring them back.
You've actually
developed an aromatherapy oil that is a similar thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have.
Cool! That is top flight. I love that.
That is, yeah.
I love that. Well, brilliant. Well, look, we've really enjoyed, this experiment, and it's something that we will live with. This is something that we will make a part of our daily practice because actually the benefits are so pronounced, and it really fits with our ethos of doing what you need to do to get your energy right. And obviously, as you rightly stated, sleep is number one on that list. And actually, even if you've had a good night's sleep, a little nap goes a long, long way. So. Any last bit words of advice, any last top tips that you've got for any of our listeners before we close out today?
I think just based on something you were saying, Chris, about everybody taking personal responsibility for their own energy. And so we see that naps have to fit within any progressive organization's inclusive wellbeing policy. Because, yes, some people want to do yoga, some people want to go for a run, some people might want to listen to a podcast. But for those people that want to nap and know that napping is the very best thing that they can do for a more productive afternoon, for more creativity, to make less mistakes, to think quicker, all those good things, why should they be sidelined and judged for doing the one thing that's going to help them excel? And my completely parting thought message is that before I napped, I used to have one really productive zone in the day because I was a lark. So the first thing, that first period of the day was when I did my very, very best work. Since I have become kind of a habitual napper, I have become 100% more productive because I've opened up this equally creative zone between 4:30 and 6 in the evening. So actually my productivity to do really good, that really good sharp work has doubled.
Amazing. Love that. I think the ethos of well-being is about inclusivity, and it's about valuing the fact we're all slightly different in the way that we get our energy is absolutely bang on. And what works for one doesn't for another. Some, as you said earlier, you might be napping actually mid-morning, whereas others need a little top up later in the afternoon. And it's important that people have the awareness and then the confidence to choose. And then I think when you get that, you get amazing kickback. So totally with you on that. Jim, any last words from you?
No, just thanks again for championing something that is that I know has a massive impact on energy. Just every now and again, we just need to be reminded of it because it's a very easy thing to forget about. So thanks for the experiment this month and allowing me to nap a lot more. And now I'm back into the rhythm. I'm not going to let it go. Plus some top tips that I got during the experiment and that I picked up on this conversation as well, which I thank you for too.
Yeah, look, it's been a brilliant time. Thank you so much for expertise. Anybody listening, if you need any top tips, any help or advice, check out ProNappers. They are the best at making sure you get the Zeds that give you the kick you need. So thank you, Cara. Thank you, Sam. Looking forward to playing with you another day.
Keep napping.